Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I'm coming to you from Kenya, and we are in the midst of a four-day crusade here in Mumias. This is my home base in Kenya, and I'll have a report coming up on my Facebook page and also my website after the crusade is over, and pictures. You can always go to Jim Rau on Facebook, that is facebook.com/Jim Rau, and see pictures of all the crusades that I have done. We always post a lot of pictures, and so you can do that. And I'm looking forward to a great crusade here in Mumias. We've been posting posters and banners all over the area. There's about approximately 100,000 people in this Mumias district. The town of Mumias has about 15 or 20,000, but there are many, many people in the villages around here and the surrounding districts. And so we're praying for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We have a couple of good African singers, international Kenyan singers, and they are going to be here, and then choirs from the many churches around. And so this is going to be a great crusade. We have a 4-acre field that is set aside, and we have a permit there right in the center of town. And so we're going to be in a place that is very obvious, very conspicuous, and people will be able to find us very easily. Well, we are in the Christmas season. This is not particularly a Christmas message. We'll get into that next week and the week before Christmas, but this message has to do with abiding in Jesus Christ. And what is Christmas about except that we love Jesus, that we honor him? There's no place in the Bible that says we have to celebrate his birth or celebrate his coming to this earth. We do this out of love. We do this out of devotion to him, to raise up his name, to give honor and glory to him. And so the Christmas season, as you well know, is not about presents, although it's great to give presents. It's not about holly and candy canes, although that's all good too, and Christmas trees. There's nothing wrong with that unless it becomes an idolatry thing in your life, unless it takes the place of your devotion to Jesus Christ. Then if you get misplaced priorities, it's easy to get out of balance and to become a pagan in your worship of Christmas, pagan in your activities in Christmas, because instead of worshiping the Creator and worshiping the person who came to this earth that we might have eternal life, then your priorities get displaced, your eyes get taken off of Jesus, and it becomes all about packages and wrappings and Christmas trees and all that stuff. And some people go so far as to say that, you know, Christmas is a pagan holiday because it's on a certain day that was devoted to the sun god. Well, no, that is not true. Every day belongs to the Lord Jesus. Every day belongs to Jehovah God. He created all the days. It doesn't matter if some pagan claimed them for a while. It doesn't matter if some pagan claimed them for many centuries, or even today if they claim them. Every day belongs to the Lord. Every day is God's day. And so when we as Christians, when we as devotees and followers and those who abide with Jesus Christ, when we set aside a day to worship him, to honor him, to bring glory to him and say, Jesus, I'm thankful that you came to this earth. I'm thankful you came as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. I'm thankful that you set aside your life and you came to live amongst us. You came out of glory and you came down to this earth as a human. You lived as a human. You knew every temptation. You knew every trial and tribulation that we have as humans. And so you suffered and you died for us. And when we set aside a day to honor Jesus and to lift up his name, whether it be Sunday, whether it be Monday, Thursday, Christmas Day, Easter Day, whatever day it is, beloved, that is our day. That is God's day. That is Jesus' day. And we are not celebrating a pagan holiday. We are celebrating Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And every day can be Christmas Day. We don't need to just hold it to that one day. We don't need to just say this is the only day that we can worship Him. We can celebrate every day, but we set aside Christmas Day to honor the one and only child who can give us salvation. You give birthday parties and you have all kinds of parties for yourself and for your own children. Why not have a birthday party and a celebration to honor our Lord Jesus, who gave His life for us, who came as a baby in a manger and gave His life that we might have eternal life forever and ever in heaven. Well, this is what heavenly hope is all about. It's not just a concept that is nebulous or is vague. It is talked about in the Bible, heavenly hope. The Apostle Paul talked about it. Jesus Christ talked about it. Other people in the New Testament especially talked about it. But Jesus' birth, of course, was prophesied over and over. Some people say 300 times. I haven't checked all of those prophecies. But His birth and His life, different aspects of His life, His resurrection, His death on the cross, His birth in Bethlehem, every aspect of His life was prophesied hundreds of times in the Old Testament. And so Jesus Christ is not just a unique historical figure, as the Muslims around here speak. All the Muslims around here, they talk about Jesus. They know about Jesus. They say Jesus is in the mosque. They say Jesus is a prophet. But when I get them to agree with me that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I get them to pray with me that Jesus Christ is the Son of Jehovah God, then that shatters their concept of Jesus, because they believe that Allah says that God has no son. And so it cannot be Jehovah God, because Jehovah God has a son and His name is Jesus. So we will talk about heavenly hope and start in Colossians. I'm going to start in verse 3 in Colossians chapter 1. Paul says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." There's that phrase I want to focus on. I'll come back to it here in just a minute. "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth." Well, beloved, Paul is talking to these baby Christians. All of the letters, the epistles of Paul, are written to baby believers, people who are new in their faith. They came out of pagan religions. They came out of false religions, idolatry, worship of idols that they have made with their own hands. And he says, "We've now heard of your faith and we've heard of your love for all the saints." He's just giving them encouragement. He says, "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Well, beloved, the basic theme of the gospel is that Jesus came to this earth. He died for us on the cross. We don't worship the cross. We don't worship the manger. We don't worship all of the things that Jesus touched or the people around Jesus. We worship Jesus Christ, who is the Son of Jehovah God, the Creator, the one who created us. We are created in God's image, and Jesus Christ was created in God's image. He came to the earth. He came to give us hope. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to save us from our sin. Without Jesus Christ coming to this earth, living as a man, ministering to all of the people there in Israel that he ministered to, and then he went to the cross and he shed his precious blood on the cross. He sacrificed his blood on the cross. Without that, we would have no hope. We would be just like the Gentiles. We would live a hopeless life. And beloved, I see it here in Kenya. Every single day there are people here who have no hope, especially because of this area is 50% Muslim. I see people, I look in their eyes, and I see such hopelessness. I see many times anger and hatred and futility and vanity. I see people walking in their futility. I see people driving vehicles and they pull out because they have no hope for tomorrow. They pull out and they try to pass other vehicles when there's a great chance they're going to be smashed, they're going to be hit, they're going to be killed, because they don't have any hope for tomorrow. They don't have any belief and longing for tomorrow. And so in a way, many things they do represent futility and hopelessness. And so it's kind of an act of suicide in a way. It's an act of saying, I don't believe there's any future for me. I don't believe there's any hope for me. But for those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and this is what Paul is saying to the Colossians, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Beloved, many of the African people, they have no money, even the Christians, they're very poor. Probably 50% or more of the people in this country live in abject poverty. They don't even know many times where their next meal is coming from. They don't have proper clothing. They have very poor medical care. They have very poor housing, mud houses for most of them, because their earthly life is very discouraging. You might say it's very disappointing. They live from day to day, and many of them are hungry from day to day, but their hope is in heaven, and you can go into their churches, and you can go into their houses, and they have joy, they have peace, they have a lot of tribulation and trial, but they have joy like you can't believe. And it is just astounding sometimes to worship with these people. It is rejoicing beyond anything that you can believe to see the hope that they have, even in spite of their circumstances. And if there's a message that I could give to the American people, I would say to you, give thanks in all things, and not just give thanks, but share with those who need material things, share with those who need food, share with those who need good housing or medical care. And this is God's will for us, that as God has blessed us so much in America, God has given us all the material things that we need. Just about everybody in America has very good housing. They have cars. 90% of the people in America own a car, and it's about 5% here in Kenya. 90% or 95% of the people in America have very good quality health care. 98% probably have very good quality food, and plentiful food, even to the point of wasting food and being obese and excess to the point where it's deleterious to their health. And beloved, it is our obligation and our duty to share with those who do not have the blessings of material wealth, who do not have the blessings of good health care and education and proper clothing. And so this hope, Paul says, because of this hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, it has also come, Paul says, in all the world. And it is bringing fruit in you. It is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Well, beloved, I hope if you are a believer that it is bringing forth fruit in you. I believe there should be evidence of your walk. James says in James 2:14 that our faith should have evidence, that faith without works is dead. And so we should validate our faith. We should validate it in a way that others can see that we have faith by our works. And when people come to you and they have needs, when people come to you and they have food needs, they have clothing needs, they have medicine needs, they have education needs, we should, as Christians, stand up and say, we want to help you. Our hope is in heaven, but we have work to do here on this earth. We want to show by our works that we have faith in God. And beloved, I stand here today in Kenya, and my life has been dedicated here in Kenya, and not just in Kenya, but I preached in other countries in the world. My life has been dedicated to bringing forth the good news of the gospel, and the fruit that follows that when people learn about Jesus, they want to share that good news with other people. And not only do they want to share the good news of the gospel that Jesus saves, but then they want to have a compassion. They have a compassion. They have a desire to help those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They have a desire to help those then who have earthly needs here on this earth. And I pray that that is the fruit of your life, just as Paul prayed for the Colossian people that their life would bring forth fruit. I pray that your life would bring forth fruit. I pray that you can donate to this ministry, that you can support this ministry, because we are reaching out to the poor. We are reaching out to many who do not have school fees. We support a preschool, about 40 children, and we get them food. We get them maize meal every day, and we pay for the teachers. We pay for the rent on the buildings. We pay for the mats for them to sleep on and all of the things necessary to conduct that school every day. And so I pray that you would have fruit in your life and you can help us to bring forth the good news of the gospel, to point these people towards Jesus, to be a sign and a wonder towards Jesus in the life of these people here in Africa. Well, Colossians 1:27, Paul talks about the heavenly hope again, and he's saying here to them, the Gentiles, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what is the hope of glory? The glory of God is the abiding abundance of God. It is the abiding, it is the weight, it is the presence, it is the living with God. The glory of God is his abiding weight. It is living with him and being in his presence. And beloved, we can have that right here on earth when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The glory of God, the Holy Spirit, then, when you come to know the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit then abides in you. And that hope of glory, of being in heaven someday, that hope that you can live with God, that hope then is manifested. It is started here on this earth, and you can walk in glory right here on this earth. It isn't going to be as wonderful. It isn't going to be as majestic. It isn't going to be as powerful and as heavenly as heaven itself. There's nothing, and I have not been to heaven except in the spirit. I was taken up there one time to see part of heaven, just a small part. But when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you receive him, then God gives us a part, his spirit, gives us his spirit to abide with us and our heavenly walk, that hope of glory that we have, that someday we're going to abide for all eternity in heaven. That can start right here on this earth. Paul says that this mystery, the riches of the glory, this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And beloved, when you get up each day and you have that hope of glory in you, it gives you reason to live. It gives you a passion to live. It gives you a desire to live, and not just to live a meager life, and not just to scrape by. And I'm not talking just financially here. I'm talking about all the aspects of living a life abiding with the Holy Spirit, abiding with the Spirit of God, living a life of glory here on this earth. It gives you a reason. When you get up, you say, thank God, I love this life. Thank God, I love Jesus Christ. Thank God, I love Jehovah God, the Holy Spirit. What can I do for you today? How can I serve you today? How can I serve you? If you would see my life here in Kenya, you would say, why would anybody want to go do, Jim, what you're doing? The mosquitoes here are terrible. It's rained every day for the last 3 months, just about. And the people here sometimes are very violent, very rude, very crude. And sometimes the food is very bad and causes all kinds of sickness. But when you have the hope of glory that abides in you, beloved, you see the hope that Jesus sees, you see the life that Jesus sees, and you say, Jesus, what can I do? How can I serve you? How can I serve you? How can I share the good news of the gospel with people who do not have that hope? Well, Paul talks about hope that is not seen compared to hope that is seen. In Romans 8:24, he says, for we were saved in this hope. He's talking about the hope of glory. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. In other words, if you already have what you're hoping for, it isn't really hope. It's already been manifested in your life. For Paul says, for why does one hope for what he sees? Well, you don't. And at verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And so when we have a desire for the hope of glory and that Holy Spirit gives us a down payment, that Holy Spirit gives us a partial idea or a partial payment of our inheritance, which is yet to come, which is eternal life with Jesus and all the saints in heaven, that is our full inheritance, that is our full hope of glory, that is our full desire, our eternal life, and our abiding with Jesus and Jehovah God for all eternity. But when we have the Holy Spirit, we are given a down payment of the full inheritance for what we hope for coming in the days ahead. And Paul again says, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Well, beloved, when you have perseverance, you know that you can tolerate things that are intolerable. You can put up with all kinds of persecutions. You can put up with all kinds of trials. You can put up with all kinds of people coming against you. You can put up with sacrifice and suffering. That is why athletes train, even though it's very painful at times. They train to be able to win that prize, to win the race. And they train in such a way sometimes that it's great sacrifice, great suffering, but they train because that hope of the prize is in their heart. It is deep within them, and so they are willing to sacrifice. And so it is the same for us as Christians. We hope for the glory that is yet to come. We get a taste of it, a down payment of it, here on this earth through the Holy Spirit. And so it allows us, or it propels us, to put up with things and to sacrifice and to be able to give in ways that we ordinarily would not ever desire to give. Well, I'm going to close here in 1 Corinthians 13 just briefly here. This 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. And Paul is speaking to the Corinthians church, baby church, just like the Colossians. And he says here in verse 7, he talks about love, and he says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And so he says that love hopes all things. Well, it is our love for Jesus Christ, it is that love because he first loved us and he instills in us the love that he has for us so that we can love people that we would ordinarily have no desire to love. I had no desire to come to Africa. I had no desire to suffer with these people. And the love that Jesus Christ has for you, the love that Jesus Christ has for me, then we can share that love, and that love then it hopes and it endures, and it causes us to hope, not only for ourselves, but it causes us to love other people so that they can also know the hope of abiding in the glory of Jesus Christ, that they can know that hope, that heavenly hope that God wants us to know, and we will know for all eternity. Well, beloved, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray you do that today. Confess your sins, repent of your sins, get down on your knees and ask the Lord to come into your heart, to convict you of your sin. Have some godly sorrow that God will convict you of godly sorrow, and follow it up with Christian baptism. If you let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com is my email. Let me know you've made that decision and you want to go forward in your Christian walk. Find a good Bible-believing church, a church that preaches and teaches out of the Bible, and you will be blessed, you will be saved, you will have that hope of glory which is yet to come. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.